So again, the topic is with Hussein Losilechu, following the ways of the Gentile nations, and it is quite apropos for two reasons that we're doing this year. Number one is obvious, is that we're talking about the ending of Hanukkah. We're talking about what exactly Hanukkah represents, probably more than anything else. It's the spiritual. It's really determining that we're different than them. And the whole thing that they wanted in the times of Hanukkah was to show how similar we could be and how we could look the same. In fact, we say the famous Yevanim Nikbatsu Alai, the Partsu Chomos Migdalai. So what does that mean? They didn't knock it. It sounds like they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, which they didn't. Partsu Chomos Migdalai is that they actually took the fence that was blocking, if you will, the non-Jews and the Jews. The Gentiles were allowed to go up to the Beis HaMikdash. Ki Beis Yivesi Filichol Amim. And they went up there and they made, I think, three distinct hits against it to show, no, we could be the same. We could join together. And that's what we are fighting against. And moreover, not just in Hanukkah, but our parshas, and in fact in this week's parsha, in Vayigash, that's the whole idea of being moved all, showing that we're different. In this week's parsha, of course, is the sad, in my opinion, you know, this is it. This is when, you know, Yaakov comes to Mitzrayim. This is where we have to be most careful. That's why, you know, Yaakov is Ma'ariv. He is Keneged Ma'ariv, Yitzchak Keneged Mincha, Avram Keneged Shacharis. Ma'ariv is the evening tefillah, the darkness of Gullus. And in fact, we go, in this week's parsha, it says that Yaakov told everybody we're going to this special place within Mitzrayim that we'll live called Goshen, and he calls it Goshna, which is Gimel Shun Nun Hei. Is the same letters that are on the dreidel, which is the gematria of Mashiach. And there's a lot of Torahs that we can speak about, not for now, but that's really what we are fighting against. And here in source number one, Kimatze Eretz Mitzrayim Asher Yeshaftim Ba, as you sit in Mitzrayim, lo sasu, don't do Kimaseim, what they did. V'chein in Eretz Kanaan, v'kaseim lo silechu, don't follow their ways. Now we have to determine, what does that mean? Don't follow their ways. So, important to understand, the topic of Hussein L'Seleichu can be shirim and shirim. It could be series of shirim. Certainly not 30 minutes doesn't do it justice. But what I want to do is I want to give you the keys to opening, I think, what's important in understanding it, and so we can answer, hopefully, all the questions. First is the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Aleph, an inyan called Sorfim Ala Malachim. In the days of old, so when a Jewish king died, they would burn his clothes. Nowadays, they would probably sell it on eBay. So now they used to do that. But that was, says the Gemara, Sofer Malachim Idarchei Amori. That's what the non-Jews did. How can we follow those ways? The E Chukahi Einon Hachi Sofim V'ksiv Chusem L'Seilecho Ela Dekuli Amo. It's okay. Why? Sreifa Lav Chukahi. It's not considered to be following their ways. Ela Chashivosahe. Hey, it's important. What does that mean, it's important? Anybody know? What does it mean it's important? It's okay because it's important. Yeah, you're right. The non-Jewish kings came up with it first. They would burn all their possessions when they died. But it's okay. The Jews can do it because it's chashuv. What does that mean? It's chashuv. What do you think? Yeah?
Only wealthy people did it. It wasn't a common practice.
Good. And? So what does that make it?
So it's not really the way of the Gentiles.
Right. So it becomes a respect issue. You want to show someone what to go ahead and put on eBay. Years ago, princess dies dress. Guy starts walking. Guy starts walking around with it. That's wrong. But somebody starts. It's not chosh. It's not nice. So the first thing we learn from the Gemara already is that it's chashuv, meaning it has a reasoning. The same thing goes by the Gemara in source number three. Again, there's a lot of different sources here. I just quoted two of them. In this inyan, the Gemara in Sanhedrin and of Beis discusses about Sayif, about beheading. So even though the goyim took that upon themselves, Kesav Be'araisa was running Araisa, even though there are other things, like putting up a matzeva, as we see in the Torah, that was us, so why is this okay? So the Ran defines for us, in the Gemara that we saw before, what is the definition of Chusem L'Seilecho? Source number four. Lifnei Shelo Asru Torah, Ela Chukas Shel Avod Kachavim, Elu Dvarim Shel Hevel Ubatala. Number one, if it's something that makes no sense, Hevel Ubatala. It's just a waste of time. The kulin yesh tzorich avodah kol chaver. It's got a schmack. It's something independent. Not straight out. It's a cross. Of course, you can't have that in your house. There's some independence of avodah zarah. So a few shiurim ago, the first group, I gave the wrong example because a lot of people wanted to walk out on me. I said, let's say magic cards, right? Let's say they were able to determine that the underpinnings of magic cards was really based on Kishu, was avodah zarah. Apparently that's not true. That's what was fought in these. But let's say, so there it's certainly hevel of batola. It's a huge waste of time. It's horrible. And maybe there's a shmek avodah kechaver. So I would say the best example of this is, I said Halloween. So even though that Halloween, there's no way that anybody celebrating Halloween now is like, yes, because we believe in the, no. But it is something that is usher, because it used to be that way. And because, I'm not saying it's hevel v'rik, you can't say it's hevel v'rik, because who doesn't want free candy? You know, the best way to get, you know, we're Jewish, so we said, why wouldn't we want free candy? But it's a problem. Now you want to tie into me, well, I'm not going trick-or-treating, I'm going to the it's just a Halloween party, and it's problematic. It's problematic, I think. Based on what we understand, so let me ask you a question. This was asked of the Maharik, this is going to be codified later on in the Ramah, so obviously a source before the Ramah. The Maharik was asked that there was a problem in his days, obviously hundreds of years ago. They didn't know who was doctors, right? And they would go, I wouldn't even call them hospitals in those times, but they wanted to determine, this way you knew, this was, you can go up to the, I need a doctor. So they said, you know what? All doctors have to wear now white capes, right? Superman. You have to wear, Doctor Man, whatever. So they have to wear these capes. So the Marik was asked, how are you allowed to do that? What a stupid idea. What's the point of that? The Jewish doctors are wearing that. Can the Jewish doctor, can he wear it? What do you think, based on what we said? What do you think? Yes?
Has a reason.
Okay, good.
And it's also not the underpinnings of what is from himself.
Perfect, yeah.
It's also chashuv.
Right, it's also chashuv, exactly, yeah. Right? Just like we have doctors, used to be, I don't think anymore as much, they wear white coats. I used to do Bikur Cholim in a hospital when I was in Teaneck. And so because I was Jewish and wearing a yarmulke and dressed nicely, obviously most people assumed I was a doctor. Because the white coats, I don't know if that's popular anymore. I'm not sure why. So there was this one particular person who was the head reverend of the hospital, the chief reverend of the hospital. So he would always see me and he would say, "Doctor, how are you? Nice to see you. Hello, how are you?" And I felt so good about myself because I don't even call me a rabbi. Like, I felt so good about myself, I never said anything to him. So I was always afraid that one day he would say, Doctor, we need you stat in room number 4. Somebody's coding." And I'd be like, Shira Malos, mi mama came, like, I don't know what I'm going to do. So thank God that never happened. And I was excited. I was able to call my mom and say, "Ma, look, I'm a doctor. The reverend thinks so." She's like, "What's going on? What are you drinking, Hassan?" But so it makes sense. Exactly what you said. It makes sense. It's chashuv. You're a policeman. You wear something. Meaning, a guy knocks on your door. "Please open up." And you look in the door thing, and there's just a guy standing there, and he's like, "Hey, what's up?" But you see, he's wearing it. Obviously there is. But firemen, that's how you determine. This guy's this. This guy's that. That's it. That makes a lot of sense. In fact, in Israel, and I have this in America, in Israel, even the lawyers have to wear, the lawyer has to wear certain clothing. He has to wear a black tie, and they have to wear a black suit and a black tie, right? And in England, right, they have the weird wig. So that makes sense. And that's what he writes here. Look at source number 5. Very, very important source. Lenias Daiti Nira. The double pashut, the lo asur mishum chuk. It's not a chuk same losi lechu. Why? It's not a chuk. The achad hu hadavar asher ein tamo nigla mishum lish lashem chuk. It makes sense. So Rashi says in Parshas Kedoshim, he writes, in this idea of his lashono chuko elu gezorah hamelach she'ein lahem tam ladavar. But this has a reason, and he writes the kevin de hu davar mishuna asher ein botam. Which is, this makes sense. There's a reason for this. And then he says, right, that it's going to be close. Something's usher if it's pritzus. We'll see this in the Ramah. If the underpinnings of it, not just avodah zarah, or makes no sense, but it's pritzus. It's not sneostic, which this clearly isn't either. Okay, so, and therefore he writes that there's no iser in this. I just pointed out one very interesting thing in a tshuva here called the B'nai Banim. This is the tshuvas of Rav Henkin. Rav Henkin, the grandson of the famous Rav Henkin in America. He's a Rav here. Unfortunately, he's had a very, very difficult number of weeks. His son was the one that was murdered. His son and daughter-in-law were the one that were murdered a number of weeks ago here in Eretz Yisrael, where Baruch Hashem, their children were saved in the car. And he writes so fascinating tshuvas. So he was said that he heard in the name of the Chazon Ish that what's the iser of chukasem l'seilecho? Very important. Aval aser b'chukasem l'seilecho eino ella b'misava l'dimuslam. I want to be like that. In my day, we used to say, "I want to be like Mike. I want to be like Mike." There used to be commercials like Michael Jordan. I want to be like Mike. I want to be like that. That's a problem. If you're waking up in the morning, that this could be a potential issue. Although I'll admit to you, I used to do this, and I let my kids do this sometimes. You know, you wake up in the morning and you say, "I want to be like so and so," right? I'm going to put on his, you know, I'm going to wear my King James, you know, T-shirt. Because I want to be like King James. You know what I'm talking about. Right? I want to be like him. That I have a problem with. Certainly, the room is it's got all the, you know, it's got like that one little picture when he was with that little crazy rabbi when he shook his hand. And then all the other pictures have, all these other sports stars and stuff like that. Most of them, you know, some of them went to jail. One of them beat up his wife. One of them, you know, but it's okay. So that I think is a little bit of a chukusein lo silecho problem. I think the best example of this, Misavalahem, in my example, is the baggy pants. The low riding pants. Does anybody know why people wear those pants? It's a real reason.
Jail.
Yes, excellent. Yes. Yes. Because in jail, you're not allowed to wear a belt, so their pants kind of fall off sometimes. And that's gangsta. That shows if you wear that in the hood and you show that your pants are low, I don't care, I'll go to jail, man. Look at this, you know. So you're gonna go ahead and go to your modern Orthodox high school and wear your pants low like that? Miss Abraham, I want to be like, I want to show. So this is a question. You know, when I was a kid, I used to love the Oakland Raiders. I'll be honest with you, I don't know why, but I still like them. It's Nebuch Lo Aleinu, such a horrible team. Always been. Except the one year I started following them, so that's when they won the Super Bowl. And I haven't had luck since. So I used to wear Oakland Raiders stuff all the time. And in my day, I don't know if this is true anymore, but in LA specifically, it was like that was what the gangsters would wear. That was what the, you know, the real, you know, and it was kind of, yeah, it was kind of funny. So like once in a while, somebody would stop and go, "Yo, yo, yo," you know, like something like they'd give me like some sign. I was like, "Shalom," you know, okay. So that's what I think he's saying. So now let's get to halacha. Let's turn the page for a moment. So the Ramah basically summarizes, and obviously we want the Ramah because we want to understand what is it, lahalacha lemaisa. He summarizes for us what's going on over here. And the Ramah basically quotes this Maharik, and importantly, the Ram that we saw. And he writes, Eloyim moved over him. I totally agree with that. So Chanorach Paskin says, we have to show that we're different in some sort of a way, which we'll get to in a moment. But Chozen, he also, Elo B'davar Shenagu Avi Kochavim L'Shem Pritzis. There's Pritzis in it. I'll give you an example. He writes, "Kegon shenagul levosh malbushei aldumim." You wear red clothes. What does this mean exactly? Maybe you're thinking red clothes, you know, Satan. I don't know, but it's preachers. So I don't know how true this is anymore. I've seen rabbis codify this and say it's not exactly that women's not allowed to wear a red dress anymore, but there are certain clothing that women wear that is not appropriate. There's no question about it, and they're wearing it. It's not just an issur of sneis. I'm saying. They're wearing a dafka lichusei mosalecha. I want to lure met. That's a problem. An additional iser in sneas of lichusei mosalecha. The who malbush sarim kadome mavushe pritzas. It's very interesting. I don't understand this so well. It says, yeah, like the nobleman would wear certain clothing. They're wearing a mishum. So they're talking about men now. So pritzas applies to men as well. It's not appropriate. I'm not really sure. Yeah. Yes, it could be, or it just doesn't look normal. But to them, so that doesn't make any sense, really. So, the white coat that makes right. So here, you're going to put on this. I don't know. The question is, how far are you going to go? You say, well, that okay, the purple, but to wear, I don't know, let's say, in my school, remember, it was like a teal, you had to wear teal cap and gown. Well, that makes sense. That's okay. Where do you draw the line? That's what he's saying. Oh, davar shenagu l'minag v'chok, v'ein tam b'davar. Right? I want every Wednesday everybody to wear red shoelaces. To remember the god of shoelaces, shoelace, whatever. That's a problem. Gigon shedarkam shekol mi sherofei mumcha yesh mavush miyucha, that's for sure allowed. Because that's darkam sheyesh bo shemetz avodah zarah. If it doesn't have, I should say, it doesn't have a shemetz avodah zarah, aval davar shenogu, something that has a toeles, kigon, this wearing this right cape, that's for sure fine. Mutter. V'chein asu mishum kavod otam arche mutter. Like the Ma'arik. There's a reason why I want people to understand that I am the postman, except you're in Israel, right? In Israel, it's the weirdest thing. A guy comes to your house, he's like, hi, I'm the postman. I'm like, dude, you're wearing shorts and a t-shirt. You look like a rock. Like, no, I'm the postman. No, trust me. Here's this letter. Like, it's very weird. Okay. But a postman wears a postman thing. The UPS guy, you know, he's going to wear the brown. We know that. You know, it's got to be. A guy comes in a blue and he says, the UPS man. I'm like, no, you're not. You can't be. It's not that way. But I did want to say one thing. And that is that we spoke before that there's really two camps here. You could say there's three camps, but two camps in the firm world. The camp that we're part of right now, we're defending, and so far, pretty rightfully so. But the other camp says, which is the, you know, Hasidish camp, or even the Haredi camp, says, no, we dress a certain way, right? Granted, it's not a way that is completely Jewish, because that's the way they used to dress, I don't know, in the 1600s. But we want to show. And if you see that person wearing white and black with the payas, and so you're either going to think he's Amish or he's a chassid. Clearly, there's no way getting around it. Why is it that they dress that way? Somebody said in the last class, yeah, so what? They're just dressing like people used to dress. What's so bad? So I think this is based on a Minchas Chinuch in Reish Nun Aleph. And that is, he writes, quotes in the name, the Rambam, Ein Mehochin, you shouldn't go in their ways, and moved all the Yadu B'mavosh, but nearly Pashut. It's obvious. The Mutal Yisrael, Lelech v'mabusham hakodmin masher alkem azvuata. They used to wear this clothes, now they don't. Kevan shay Yisrael neker b'musham. It's clear who else is wearing this now, right? You know, it's not so good. It's like saying, okay, I'm going to wear my father's clothes from, you know, the 1960s. Except that's in now. You know, the skinny ties are back. And I'm not so sure. But there, you know, 1600s, you're pretty safe. There used to be a little joke here in Israel. You know, they would go up to someone and say, hey, you made Aliyah in 1998. I'm like, how do you know that? It's like, because that Gap shirt is from 1998. You know, like, that's the last time the guy went to. Okay, so maybe we're zoichet to that. But the reason why we're allowed to, well, the clothes, but the Hasidim, so they believe, or the Haredim, they believe, I'm going to be moved off so much, there's no way you can tell the difference. And it helps me, right? It's the same thing. This is a social experiment. It's easy, right? You go ahead. I used to work a lot from home. A lot of my jobs that I had were from home. So somebody gave me a great advice. And they said that even if you're going down to your basement to work in your office, make sure to get dressed for work. Dress for work like a normal day. Don't put on shorts and a t-shirt. You do that, you're in big trouble. Because you're not, so you know, when a guy puts a suit on, right, I feel chashur, I feel important, I feel dead. It's very, very important. So now let's get to halacha lemaisa. The first thing is we're going to talk about dress. So Rav Moshe Feinstein writes here in source number 9, why are you allowed to wear, I don't know, whatever, Calvin Klein? Why are you allowed to wear, sorry, Banana Republic or, I don't know, what is that, American Eagle? Or American Eagles. Yeah, I'm holding, yeah. So why am I wearing this beautiful Gap sweater? Look at the chush of a Zachem, even though it's from 6 years ago. Still, how are you allowed to do that? Worse than that, how are you allowed to wear, what, I can't see, what team is that over there? What team are you wearing? Okay, that's not a team. Okay, fine. So, but what? Says Rav Moshe like this. The guy belaz ain't shayach isur mabush nochrim. That kemak kol b'nei yoshev loshem mabush nochrim. They wear this. Me omer shayim mabush nochrim. What determines that that's goyish dress? The hayisrael loshem mikam mabusham. Madua lo nema. Why can't we say shem mitchila hein gam mabush yisrael? To lo nekava klal mitchila lo nochrim. The day that Mr. Banana decided to make his clothes, or these little kids that make it in Vietnam. So how is it That he said, oh yeah, but Jews, that for sure not. It was used to be this rumor about Tommy Hilfiger that he said once. It's not true. It was on Oprah Winfrey. I saw it. He didn't say that. I never said this. That if I would have known that African Americans and Jews were going to wear my clothing, I never would have started my company. What does he want? He wants money. He doesn't care. It doesn't matter. He wants money. So, says Rav Moshe Feinstein, we're just wearing what the style is. That's fine. What's the difference? You wear? I know there are people who actually don't wear this year's. They won't wear the new thing. Let's say was there used to be a time the 3-button suit was in. Right now it's a 2-button suit, so they won't wear the 3-button suit. Only the 2-button suit. Only the thing that's older. But Rosh doesn't say that clearly. Lachain af lahagra. Even the gra is very very strict. And the same with Saint Lecho. Bebir basof. Sivkat and Zayin, it doesn't agree with the Ran that we saw. Doesn't agree with the Marek. Doesn't agree with the Rama. Sheshov the Chol Mavush Hamayuchel Anochem. So everything's also if you look like them. Gamkein Hu Mati Begadim Shainu Loshim. That Lo Bishvil Hanochem Shaloshim. Yeah, I get it. Now, a few years ago here in the yeshiva, there was a rabbi. I don't want to mention his name because even not really in the basement, it's not nice. So he thought it was a joke, a big joke, and he dressed like the Pope. Horrible. I'm not horrible. That was me. I'm kidding. So I every year I dress like funny. So two years ago I dressed like the Pope. So that would be if it was a regular day and Rav Hartstein walked in and I'm like whoa, and I walked in. That's pashut mechusay losilecho. I mean, you don't need to grow for that. That's for sure. Also, okay, it's different. Probably mamish nol pesikon legazer because I was making fun of him. That was the time that he was running. I thought he was going to be the Pope, so I was running. You know, they were running for who was going to be the Pope. So I thought it was funny. And instead of the cross, which that's for sure, also you can't have a cross. So I had a chain that had a money sign on it because I'm the money guy in the machine. It's funny, yeah. I should have like cans of soda and things from the machine. Yeah. So says Rav Moshe, it's not a problem. Good. We'll just skip through. Rav Moshe asks about names. This is a big machlokes as well. Very, very, very interesting machlokes. So he says, I'm not saying it's good to have Goyish names. It's not a nice thing. But it's not usher. Afshu davar maguna ain isser. Shelakein chazinin v'kama shemos, right, that people had in Medina Zelon. Again, it's written, the Gemara discusses, Tosfos actually says about having non-Jewish names, they're writing Gittin with these non-Jewish names. First of all, it's not exactly correct. So almost nowadays, everybody has a Hebrew name, but some of them go by their Goyish. Unfortunately, my English name is Daniel, but I have a Hebrew name also that's Dov, which does not necessarily relate to each other. I actually thought once to change my name, and I tried it once in my office, a long, long time ago, and everybody, instead of calling me Dove, called me Dove. I was like, wah, wah, I'm not a bird, I can't do that. I'm not a soap, a bar of soap, I'm done. So I went back to Daniel. So that's practical. So sometimes, you know, people, they mamish only have that name. That's a problem. In fact, there's a Rav Zilberstein Tshuva about this as well, where a guy comes to Rav Zilberstein with the shiloh that his name was George. And so he says, well, that's not really your name. You must have a Jewish name. Don't you have a Jewish name, George? It was for the Ksuva. And he says, yeah, I actually have a Jewish name. And it turned out his name was Chaya Tova. So the story goes that when he was, it was Bris Mila. George was Russian. So at the Bris Mila, the Moel, who was also the person naming him, said, okay, Vakar Shemobi Yisrael. And he said, George! He says, no, George isn't that a Jewish name. He gave me a name. He says, I don't have a name. He says, be a Jewish name. Explain to him, Jewish name. He says, oh my God, perfect. He said, my aunt just passed away. And her name was Chaya Tova. So he spoke to Rav Zilberstein that it's not such a, how exactly he should change his name.
You're getting
off script. So, thank you. So he explained how it's not a Jewish name. And he was able to change his name, but Rav Zilberstein asked Rav Chaim Kanievsky. Chaim Kanievsky actually changed his name fully, but related it to, I don't know why, but Yonah and Tova was, it was very, very interesting. Anyway, but off topic, but back on topic, he says, okay, a person, we all have Jewish names, so I don't know as much about Rav Asher Weiss has a whole piece in his sefer about this. He, if you could say this, but he disagrees with Rav Moshe in some way, and says that again, as long as when a person names somebody, they're thinking about the right name. Let's say Yaakov, who is a Russia, right? I'm naming it after my great grandfather's name was Yaakov, but he was known to be the Tsarist of Russia. His name was Yaakov, but you think about Yaakov Avinu, that's also okay. Different things like that. Finally, the last source, but really opens it up to everything. What about Thanksgiving? Right, I don't know if you know what this is, but in America, a few weeks ago, they had something at Thanksgiving. I was like, what? Thanksgiving was already? What was already? Yeah. So Rav Moshe here has actually 3 tshuvas on it. Some he's not as clear. In this tshuva, he's clear, and he says, in our Tzotah Brit, they have this thing called Thanksgiving. Ke'en chag laso, look at it in the parentheses how he spells it, it's very funny. Ke'en chag laso suda, hinei l'chor. Mikevan shesifri datam lo husker yom ze l'chag. It's not a chag, in meaning it's not a goyshe based on the Quran or based on the New Testament or anything. Ve'gam lo she yidchayvu besuda kevan shu yom zecher medina shu gamti en samer. A person happy to live in America, what an amazing thing that he has a place he can have religious freedom. He doesn't think the problem. Others have commented and said the Rav Moshe maybe went back on this and said no, the underpinnings of it was actually non-Jewish. If you look in the times of Abraham Lincoln, but it changed because JFK then put it into effect. If you look at the whole history, maybe there's something to it and that people don't follow. But all of these types of concepts, for example, you have the siren on Yom HaZikaron and a Yom HaShoah. So there are people who are so against it. Unfortunately, I know somebody, and in this girl's school, the teacher said, in about 2 minutes there's going to be a siren, and if any girl gets up and shows cover to the siren, they're kicked out of the school. So mom was crazy. Okay, at least they're not doing it in public. They're quiet about it. Some people say Tehillim, which is fine. It's a time to reflect. It has a time. It has a reason. It makes sense. It's not goy. It's not a non-Jewish thing. So I don't really have a problem with that. And other things as well, holiday parties, we don't have time to get into, but could be another problem, and that's Mesivas Akum, which is an issue the Rambam speak about and others say about being in a gathering that has alcohol together. That's not what our discussion is, but again, nowadays it's called a holiday party. If it was mamish, a Christmas party, that's a problem. To go to go to your neighbor's house who's having a Christmas party and they invite you over, that could be a problem in itself. You have these monuments every so often. You have, you know, you're riding in Israel and all of a sudden there's a tank on the side of the road and remember something. So that's, again, has a reason to it. The Gra was very against decorating shuls on Shavuos because he said that that's what they do in the churches, and he didn't like it. What's the problem? You're doing it show covered. It has a reason. You're showing because of the holiday of Shavuos, because of the Torah. Again, in the caps and gowns, the same thing. It has a time. You have 1,000 people sitting in an auditorium. Who are the people graduating? Oh, those people that are wearing those funny hats. And I don't think there's a problem with that. And lastly, you know, discuss Chanukah gel. Just as the last thing. So a certain member of our block, son, came over this week, and I said to him, trying to make conversation, show that I'm, you know, a cool dad. I said, so what was your best Hanukkah present? Just to show that I'm not a cool dad. He's like, yeah, we don't do Hanukkah gifts. I'm like, we don't do, what does that mean? I was like, so that's what I said. And it's like, sometimes when the kids say something, you hear the father saying it. This is the father that said to the kid, we don't do Hanukkah gifts. So I said to the kid, I said, listen, it's not that you don't do Hanukkah gifts, your father's cheap. That's why you don't do Hanukkah gifts. This didn't go over well. The kid was like, ah, you know. So I ran upstairs, I gave him a gift that I had. But what was the idea? So some wrote that there's a problem with it because it comes from Christmas. We felt bad, we didn't get any gifts. So if you look in this in Sefer Menhagim, there's so much written about this, that this was actually a real important thing to get what we call Hanukkah gifts, give money to kids, you encourage them to learn, say, hey, listen, you've been in school now it's difficult because now it's dark outside and they're walking home. And so we want to encourage you to learn Torah. Here's money. Here. So you do it in the form of gifts. What's the difference? So I don't think that that's such a problem. Again, it makes sense to give it. It's going to help a kid. Here in the yeshiva, you have an incentive program. Right? I'm announced today. I said, guys, I really think it's important that you guys come to Kenyan Torah Seder, which you don't really have to come to. And nobody shows up. And then all of a sudden I say, oh, yeah, but, oh, by the way, if you come 30 times out of 60 times, I'm going to give you $100 each. Guess what? Everybody's there. So incentives work. So how can you say that that's chukasem l'seilechu? It has a tam. It has a tam. I'm going to get people to sit and learn. They're going to be happy. Oh, maybe at the end of the year, my dad will buy me something too. So I don't think that that's also either. Again, what seems to be also for sure is things that have a reason that is, this doesn't make any sense. Or it's shmecking. It smells from some sort of underpinnings in Avodah Zarah. Other than that, we have to show in a way that we're moved, that we're different. Okay, and there are some types of clothing, as I said, that maybe is very inappropriate because it's preachers, or it's just, why are you wearing that? What do you want to show that you are? That could be. But in general, it seems that these strict definitions of chukasem l'seilchel don't apply in many, many, many cases. Okay, yesh koyach.